Hi, this is Connie Hunter with Community Conversations, KCIW, Curry Community Radio. We have a special event today. I'm here visiting with Senator Jeff Cruz. He's our senator for our district, and that includes Coos and Curry County. Senator, welcome. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me, Connie.
You know, you and I have had a couple of conversations in the past about veterans and mental health, and let's kind of look at that issue today in a kind of a 360-degree way, and in preparation of an event that's coming up on January 15th, which is a stakeholders meeting where the VA, director of the VA Roseburg Healthcare System, and some of the upper management staff, including mental health director, are going to come down and work with our community stakeholders to try and bring forward a relationship with the VA that actually deals with the gaps in care for our rural veterans. And of course, a lot of people know this statistic that Curry County has more veterans per capita than any other county in the state of Oregon, but we also have one of the highest veteran suicide rates per capita in the state of Oregon. But we also have deficits in mental health in a general way in the Curry County, but in the state of Oregon. And Senator Cruz and I have had several conversations, and so I'm grateful that you're here today to hit those issues head on. I'd like to let you just give a baseline to what your ideas are to address the mental health crisis in Oregon.
Well, we know we have a mental health crisis in Oregon. There's no question about that. In fact, the state of Oregon has been threatened to be sued by the federal government because of the lack of community-based mental health services. And unfortunately, our focus legislatively has been on the state hospital, which I thought was really appropriate when we built the first one, not appropriate when we decided to build a second one in Junction City, because that money should have gone to communities. There are a lot of things we could be doing. Most mental health services for most of the people in Oregon could be covered by Medicaid, match dollars and different things like that. We have a lot of great ideas out there. It's just that so far we have not had people in the positions of authority. For example, the people running the Oregon Health Authority have chosen to ignore the issue. And the majority party in the state has chosen to ignore the issue. I've served under three governors now who have chosen to ignore the issue. What excites me about this event in Curry County is we are talking about veterans, and it is a good stepping off point for us to look at the larger community as a whole. Clearly the veterans have a higher need than the general population. We know that, but we also need to look especially at Curry County, that has the largest percentage of their population being senior citizens of any county in the state. And we know that there are mental health issues that are specific to senior citizens as well. What I really know about all this is if the services are available, most of these people can do just fine and live absolutely productive lives. If they don't have the services, they tend to go in absolutely the wrong direction. And at the end of the day, it costs us more to deal with that than if we dealt with it on the front end. So what excites me about this conversation that you're having today is it's a good stepping off point to hopefully energize more people and get more people to pay attention. And as I've told you, Connie, we are going to be putting together some work groups to look at how we genuinely deal with this issue. I've invited you to participate in it, and we will do that. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm glad that folks in the VA in Roseburg are coming to this event to hear the issues. But the reality is this is a stepping off point, and it's time that the state of Oregon step up and deliver the services that they are supposed to deliver. It's time that the relationship with the Veterans Administration was established to the point where Veterans can get services outside of the VA system as well. A whole lot of things we can do here. I'm very excited about this. I've been beating this drum for years, and hopefully people will start paying attention now.
One of the first conversations that you and I have ever had to do with healthcare and mental health. And I knew that Oregon was going to be ranked low in terms of funding, but I didn't expect a situation to be as dire as it is now. We are ranked 51. That means out of all the states and even Puerto Rico, Oregon funds less for mental health. Now, this is like a Groundhog Day movie for me because I used to live in Arizona and worked for the largest community mental health center, the Development Foundation, Phoenix Behavioral Health Foundation, when Arizona funded less for mental health than every other state in the union, even less than Puerto Rico. And the remedy for that that we came up with was to put together a coalition of community-based mental health providers and on behalf of individuals to sue the state of Arizona. And we did that, and we won those cases, and some of those test cases were veterans. So we knew at that time that if the VA did not perform, that it ended up being the responsibility of the state to provide mental health care for that veteran. And that's kind of backwards. And so the rationale for the new mission of the VA healthcare system is to build community-based programs, because a system as big as the VA healthcare system cannot be one size fits all. And so when we talk about advocacy of community-based providers, it's just time and it's just necessary. And one of the risk factors for suicide can be just being living in a rural community.
Well, it can. And, you know, I mean, there are a lot of tentacles in this. There's the issue of inadequate housing. We all know that. But for a lot of it, especially in the rural parts of the state where the unemployment is over 20%, we know that. If you're kind of tended in that direction as well and you don't see a future, it's easy to get depressed. It truly is. And so we need to be looking at all of the aspects of not just making sure that the mental health services are delivered, but hopefully we can do some things to make people think that actually they may have a better purpose in life than being on welfare. I mean, these are the things we need to talk about. One little factoid you might find interesting. In 1905, in the state of Oregon, the state budget, 50% of it went to mental health. So this isn't a new issue. We have just, the priority that it used to have, it no longer has.
So what is the state of Oregon looking to do?
Well, the state of Oregon is hopefully looking to start getting serious about putting money into the community-based system. There are a lot of ways we can do this to where the entire bill doesn't rest on the state. For example, we can have daycare centers and other sorts of inpatient facilities and things like that for people with mental health issues that would qualify for Medicaid if we build them right, which is the interesting part. Both state hospitals, neither one of them qualify for Medicaid benefits, so the state pays the full meal deal on that. And I know that Medicaid dollars are still taxpayer dollars, but it moves Oregon closer to being a state that actually gets as much back from the feds as they send there, which I think is appropriate. So, we know what the solutions are. The question is, are we willing to bite the bullet and put the dollars where they need to be?
We had a citizens-based initiative, a small group of veterans and veterans advocates. We put on a veteran suicide awareness town hall meeting. And the purpose of that was to demonstrate what a continuum of care would look like if we had community-based relationships, community-based providers working better together. And at that point, Curry Community Health, which used to be public health but is a nonprofit now called Curry Community Health, headed by Marine CEO Ken Duque, fantastic developer, and the director of mental health, Aaron Porter, and Mary Trost, who at that time was the head of crisis intervention, participated in that town hall meeting as panelists. We had representatives from law enforcement. We had Georgia Cockerham, who does, she was the founder of the Compassionate Friends, so grief support. People came out from the faith-based community. I think it was very successful, but also the Vietnam Veterans of America provided a resource that was fantastic. They brought their national committee chair for PTSD and substance abuse. His name is Dr. Tom Hall, and he came out and gave a presentation. We are actually looking at growing that model program to go around the country, but certainly we'll, you know, trying to demonstrate what that continuum of care would look like at the community level and putting on those kinds of town halls to energize, not only turn up the political heat on your mental health, community-based mental health providers, but also to get faith-based people involved, because we know something about veterans in that they will go to a minister or a priest or a rabbi more often than they'll seek mental health treatment. So we know that the faith-based community has a huge pipeline of support that can be developed. So those things in tandem, we've made some progress. And what I have to say is the 2015 objectives and goals of Curry Community Health includes a veterans initiative. But basically what came out of the Veterans Suicide Awareness Town Hall meeting was almost a to-do list that Aaron Porter and Ken Duque took back to Curry Community Health, and they started working on it. And they've obtained grant funding that's going to develop good programs for mental health in general. They'll have a drop-in center. I mean, there's a lot, and I'll maybe have a separate interview with Aaron about these programs. But when I left my first Curry Community Health Advisory Board meeting, I had tears all the way back down the hill from Gold Beach to Brookings, because I knew immediately lives were being saved. I knew that we had the right energy, the right enthusiasm, the right programmers in place, and now we're energized to do that. But we have to look at this in a broader sense to look at mental health as contributing to the overall health, not just of the community, but of economic development. People don't look at the continuum of development in a way that addresses community development and economic development in tandem. And so when we're talking this through before this interview, I think Jeff had some great things to talk about mental health, community-based providers, but also how all of that relates to vitality, economic vitality in our county. So did you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's been a great frustration. This is another case of way too much government. You know, I mean, when I look at the various projects that have been attempted in Curry County, golf courses and things like that, and I still have yet to figure out how a golf course is bad for the environment, because I think it's like grass and stuff and trees, okay. But they have been stopped, and we have tried, and not necessarily by people in Curry County. People from other places have been able to stop those activities. I had legislation, basically, that if I was in the majority party, I probably could have got it passed, but I couldn't. That basically limited who could make an appeal on a land use decision, and because right now somebody from Portland can stop an activity in Curry County, and I think that's absolutely wrong. So it's what we can do to revitalize the economy. you know, chances are, knowing the federal government, the timber industry is never going to come back to where it was. We're hoping that we can get maybe some more production out of the ONC lands, but that's still probably a few years off. You know, a new shrimp fishery in Brookings is going to be very positive, but then we need to do some things to probably revitalize the tourist industry a little bit more. We have done some work on port dredging and things like that that are very helpful. But quite honestly, what you will find, and I think this is fairly standard, is in a very prosperous community, the mental health issues are a whole lot less. Okay, we know that. Okay, that's an absolute fact because people have something to be positive about, and both positive emotions and negative emotions are contagious, and we know that too. And so if the community is feeling better about itself, you're feeling good about what you're doing, you're probably going to be more open to helping your neighbor. But if you're really down about yourself, that's all you're going to think about is yourself. So there are a lot of tentacles that weave into this thing. And so we can't just look, you know, dealing with the mental health issues, as we've talked about, it's an immediate crisis that needs to be dealt with. Okay. But there are long-term solutions that also need to be dealt with. And that's making Oregon prosperous again.
What's really motivating me in all of this is having been in a situation where we actually grew programs in Arizona and a really top-notch mental health system. But when the economy went south, they cut mental health. And so...
Yeah, but, you know, and it gets down to hard choices, and it's whose ox gets gored politically on different things like that. But you brought up something earlier about, you know, having the faith-based community involved. We had actually a pilot project about 8 years ago in a couple communities where the faith-based community was involved, and it was working wonderfully well, bringing assets and resources into the equation. But the agency didn't like it because it's their baby. They don't want to share it, okay? That is, the bureaucracy in Salem and the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. are pretty much the same. They live in a world all to themselves, and their main objective is to protect themselves. So as we start moving forward with this attempt to get true community-based mental health, what we need to be very cognizant of and very informed on is to make sure that we don't create this state level one size fit all template that we put down on everybody. Because trust me, the way the mental health problems in Brookings and the way they need to be dealt with are going to be in some significant ways different than they will be in Portland or Pendleton or Bend. So we need to be able to design the systems to fit the community they're serving.
And that's why I so appreciate Director Douglas Paxton coming from, he's the director of the VA healthcare system for Roseburg, mm-hmm. and that's our catchment area, and that includes Curry County. And
and he's a new guy on the block, so no, that should be helpful too.
Yes,
so.
And you know, he was infantry, 101st Airborne, mm-hmm. During the Vietnam War, and we had a conversation that went from about 5 o'clock at night until 9:30 at night. He met with the veterans community, then he met with myself and Bill Farrell, who's the chapter president of VVA, Vietnam Veterans of America, and then afterwards we sat down and we decided that we would work on putting together the stakeholders meeting, and that's. I think that he was so excited when I said, well, let's put together a stakeholders meeting and put this together, and I'll be your point of contact and convene it and get everybody. And I think that he went, oh, my goodness, she actually understands what the VA is trying to accomplish. And the reason that I understand that is because of that lawsuit that we did in Arizona where we realize that it's a responsibility of community-based providers to take care of veterans. So now we're just trying to figure out who pays for it. Mm-hmm. The VA 2014 Reform Act really brought some things to the forefront, including the patient's choice card. And there's a lot of kinks that have to be worked out of that card, but it allows for community-based providers to fill in when the VA can't do what they need to do and under special circumstances. And part of what we're going to do at the stakeholders meeting is help the providers and the all care and the coordinated care organizations come together and really identify where we have a need, and let's fill those needs. Having a contract with the VA to allow, say, a local provider to do x-rays is a lot cheaper to the VA than what? Having to pay mileage, overnight stays, and things like that. And I see you're ready to say something, so I'm going to shut up for a minute and let you.
Well, I just want to say that the last director of the VA in Roseburg was a lady who was there to finish out her time to be fully vested in her pension. And I was excited when they put somebody in charge that might actually want to make things better. So I think the reaction of the VA is going to be significantly better than it has been over the last few years.
And I think there's a huge piece of that is that the marching orders from the top are different than they used to be.
Well, you guys still have to have the right generals in place. So.
Well, and there are three pieces to that. You know, they're asking for community-based relationships and partnerships to be built. They're asking for the VA healthcare system to be innovative, and they're asking for the VA healthcare system to be more accountable. Having lived in Phoenix, we knew after Vietnam that the Phoenix VA healthcare system was broken. We called it 3D healthcare. You start out being delayed, then you get denied, and then you die. And so it was not a surprise. And in fact, we knew that the issues existed in Phoenix. And the scandal that broke, we weren't surprised. And we were turning up the political heat for changes to be made. What's good about having Director Paxton here is not only is he committed, but he's knowledgeable in that he really has invested himself in the new strategies and the new mission and the new thrust of the leadership at the top of the VA healthcare system. Now, we haven't talked about this, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the new office at the governor's office, the office of the Department of Resiliency. And you're smiling, so I just want to know more, and I want you to.
we all want to know more about that, and I'm not sure that has anything to do with what we're talking about.
Well, I think it has to do with housing and things like that.
It does. I'm not sure. Kate didn't consult with me, or Governor Brown, excuse me, did not consult with me before she decided to make a new position. I find it interesting because one of the first things, and Governor Brown and I have been friends for 20 years. Okay. She's wrong on a lot of stuff, but we're still friends. She was going to be transparent and there's nothing that she's done that I consider to be transparent at this point in time. In fact, she's still covering up a lot of stuff. And so I think the resiliency, at least initially, it was basically set up to how do we respond when something really bad happens, okay? And so it's pointed towards earthquakes and tsunamis and different things like that. So, and I'm thinking, gosh, it's nice that she set up an office to deal with something that might happen 500 years from now, but I think maybe there's higher priorities. So when we get into session in February, we'll find out exactly what that mission is. At this point, I don't think anybody really knows.
Well, it's kind of a hybrid, it's my understanding.
Yeah.
And so it has economic development.
Right.
So what I guess what I'm saying is I want to keep my eye on what they're doing and see how it will benefit us in Curry County, because certainly we have a lot of issues that if we're talking about economic resiliency and emergency preparedness. Mm-hmm. We're at that place where those two things intersect, and we could benefit from that office if it's doing what I think it's going to do. So will you help us stay informed on that?
No, I can do that. I was just going to disagree with you a little bit. I have yet to see a point in time when growing state government has benefited anybody at the county level. So, we create more state employees and that takes more tax dollars. And so we have more dollars going to pay employees and less dollars going to benefits for citizens.
Well,
tough choice.
Well, you know what? Let's keep an eye on this, and we'll talk about this again. But I brought it up because I think there are possibilities there, and I don't know, how can we make it better? You and I have those conversations all the time, and we might not see eye to eye on something, but we see heart to heart, and we both know that. And I appreciate your time today. So I know you've got more to say about something because you got that grin on your face that you have a point to make, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, the point to make is I think, I'm glad that the VA is looking in new directions, and I'm hopefully the state is going to put more emphasis on the things that should have been for a long time and just haven't. But at the end of the day, if we are counting on government to solve all our problems, we are on a fool's errand, because that will not happen. What we need to do at the community level is to make sure that the resources that are made available to us are going to the best purpose that they can. And the community needs to be in charge of what happens in the community.
And take responsibility for our communities. Step
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
One of the great tools of community development is KCIW Radio. When we're on the air, we will be a nonprofit that can not only communicate better with our community and discuss community issues, we can be a fundraising tool 24/7, 365. And just the nature of civic engagement is an economic driver by itself. So I'm really proud of the fact that, we were funded as a startup by Meyer Memorial Trust, who doesn't fund nonprofits and startup. So we are good enough and have been producing a good work product that actually has a listenership. We have made a purchase of our equipment, which arrived on Christmas Eve, a lot of it. And so our studio is being built as we speak. So we're hoping to grow this radio station to have the ability to broadcast throughout Curry County through a series of repeaters and using county towers. And we're working toward that. But we're doing a lot on our own through our nonprofit sector. And what I'm seeing now is the nonprofit sector coming to terms with the fact that they have to collaborate. We are fiercely independent people, and people that are advocates and in nonprofits, we have a tendency to be fierce advocates over what we're doing and not see the bigger picture. So we have a missing layer of planning that the community itself is starting to address, and to bring for some new leaders and to get people more involved in just good civic engagement. We have a civility project so that we're addressing things like how to behave better in public meetings, address bullying in the schools, and things like that. And we're really excited because we're actually making a difference. And the fact that you're willing to sit down and talk with us and give us encouragement, to provide us with some perspective that we haven't considered. I'm appreciative of that, and the fact that you're supportive of our event that's coming up on the 15th is huge. And so if you have a little statement that we could use in this podcast and then use perhaps as a motivator to our VA healthcare system and our community providers about creating those community-based partnerships. Can you share that encouragement that you've wanted to?
It's kind of tough to sum all this up in just a few words. First, I think the fact that the leadership of the VA in Roseburg is willing to come and have the conversation is hugely important. My hope is that the community will turn out in great numbers for the event, if for nothing else than to learn what is going on and what is potential. I also want to say that this event could very well be the tip of the sword of a movement that we can get started in the entire state of Oregon to make sure veterans are getting the services they need and the general population is getting the services they need. So I am hoping everybody will be enthusiastic and will share what they learn with everybody they know, because word of mouth is incredibly important in something like this. And I have already made a commitment to carry this forward to Salem, and we will be working. And quite honestly, the more support we can get from the communities for our efforts, the more successful we can be.
So we have responsibilities. We talk about freedoms, and we appreciate our veterans guarding our freedoms. But you know what? It's a two-sided coin, isn't it? One side is freedom, one side is responsibility. So I am encouraging not only our community-based providers to be involved, but our veteran-serving organizations, mm-hmm. our faith-based organizations. And I'm so excited about the fact that our mayor's going to attend, Mayor Ron Hedenskog, Jake Pieper, and also City Manager Gary Milliman, and others in the county and so forth. But I'm just talking about Brookings in general, is coming forward in a big way. And when I have I've worked over time with Mayor Ron Hedenskog, and he promised me, looked me straight in the eye and said, we will be the hero for veterans in Curry County. And one thing that I'm excited about is the fact that the county and the cities are coming together. And I think we could create a good perfect storm and dismantle the bad perfect storm. And I think that we have a blueprint that we can work with, but we can customize that to work for our community.
Wouldn't it be nice if the city of Brookings and Curry County help create the template for the rest of the state, and so for once Portland had to copy us?
Well, you know what? We like to create model programs. When we put together the Veteran Suicide Awareness Town Hall meeting, I knew what we were creating, a model program, and the VVA may duplicate that and are looking at those kinds of town halls as a piece of what they do in Oregon. We'll probably start locally. I don't want to get into that conversation, but I want to say that all three of our mayors are veterans. So I know we have a huge public policy green light from our leadership, our mayors. So what I wanted to mention is that Mayor Jim Auburn did sit on our Veteran Suicide Awareness Town Hall meeting and was fantastic asset to not only provide additional advocacy and leadership, but some sound common sense about how we can grow those programs. So even though our population and our veterans mostly are in South County, we have them all over the county. So Brookings, of course, just because of the numbers, has to be leaders. But I know that we have a public policy green light on behalf of veterans that we have never had before in Curry County, Curry Community Health, the Board of Commissioners, our mayors, and our veteran serving organizations. I'm getting choked up here because I have seen growth in a year and a half that I did not expect in Curry County. So just in terms of accepting this as a potential improvement and providing hope and strategies and a vision, I think that is where people start to say, okay, we have hope. We're working towards a greater good, and we're working together. That's huge. So, you get to wrap it up, Senator. Thank you for being here.
Well, and thank you for having me. And I have a feeling you and I are going to be doing this many more times, because there are many more issues that we'll be talking about. I do want to thank you for your advocacy. I want to congratulate you on actually having your equipment to do your station at Christmas. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
It came so, right on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Because you've been talking about this. I mean, this is a dream of yours, and now it's becoming reality. So congratulations on that. And, this is the sort of venue that we need to communicate with the public. One of the things that's frustrated me over time is the fact that the media has quit being media. They just advocate for stuff, and which is why we're seeing the death of newspapers, which I find tragic personally, but it's what's happening. And we just need to have more venues to where people can be informed about the things that are important to them. You know, you go to the national news on television and most of it you don't care about. So why is it there? I can remember when I was a child, national news on NBC was the Huntley Brinkley Report. It was 15 minutes. Okay. And so they had to be very choosy about what they choose. And so it was all hard news. Now it's 24/7 juggernaut and they have to come up with all sorts of things. So this is a sort of forum that allows people to know what's going on in their community on issues that they can actually be involved in and actually will impact them. So thank you for what you're doing.
Well, we need to thank our board of directors because they are fantastic. I have to tell you, I've worked in nonprofit development most of my career. I've worked in the corporate world too, so I know how to go out and make a buck, but I also know how to build things, but you never build anything by yourself.
No.
We have about 25, almost 30 core volunteers that do a combination of governance and developing the programming and so forth. We have about $10,000 more to raise before we are actually able to get up on the air full steam ahead. So that's, as people look at their end of the year giving, we hope that KCIW is, something that people will consider to become founding members. And I don't want to get into a big fundraising session here because I want us to look at the future, look at our true north, and be grateful for the things that we have at the end of 2015 with hope directed towards 2016. So I get to ask one more question. If you would reveal what at least one of your New Year's resolutions is, Senator?
My New Year's resolutions? 5 years ago, I made a New Year's resolution to never make any more New Year's resolutions, and I have kept it ever since then.
Well, that's stand-up stuff. I may have to look at that one. I think my...
Quite honestly, if I need to improve, I just try to do it. I don't need to make a resolution. And being in politics, I have lots of people that tell me what I'm doing wrong, so that's easy to find.
And I think that you subscribe to a program that requires you to do self-evaluation in a general way.
Absolutely.
And I think that's my New Year's resolution to do more self-evaluation and to remember to be grateful and thank people for all that they do. So I'm going to start here and now. Thank you, Jim Newman, for being my tech guy extraordinaire for the day. And we had to drive up from Brookings. We left a little in the afternoon, and Senator was kind enough to grant us a lot of time and a lot of access. And so I'm very grateful for that. And I look forward to continuing conversations. And if you have something you want to talk to us about, send us an email.
I will do that.
Thank you for your time. And anything else you want to say?
Happy New Year.
And you're going to run in when?
I am up for re-election in 2016.
All right, then. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you for being here.
That's just in a couple of days, isn't it? 2016, yeah.
I know. Okay. I know. Amazing. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider becoming a founding member. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.